This is the Two Rambling Idiots podcast, episode number one.
Quiet Online.
Tonight we're going to experience yet another rip-roaring slab of quality talk show entertainment.
We are two wild and crazy guys! Woo-hoo!
This place is like Dr. Seuss's worst nightmare.
With all due respect, we have a right to know what's going on
here. Hey, this promises to be fun.
Maybe I should get some pants on.
Get on with the show.
Okay, hopefully that didn't blow you out too much, Kevin.
I'm here.
Do you like that?
That's an eardrum. That was something else.
Yeah, yeah. I put that together. Kevin has not heard that. Ever. That's the first time he's heard it. I have been listening to it all week, actually, in anticipation of this. This is the Two Rambling Idiots podcast, episode one. That's Kevin Seesock.
And that's Joe Fusco.
Today's episode is brought to you by the letter...
Red.
All right. In case you're wondering what we're doing here, because we are too, really... A couple of years ago, Kevin and I were talking on a road trip, and we're talking about what type of podcast we'd do if we ever did a podcast, and you're going to hear what came of it. And so what we say is, it's a podcast about life, love, technology, and the love of technology. So we're gonna be talking a lot about technology, but we're going to have some other features going too, and I'll get into more about the show format later. First of all, let us introduce ourselves. I'm going to toss it over to Kevin here first and let him introduce himself, and then I'll introduce myself. Take it away, Kevin.
Sure thing. My name is Kevin. I've been in IT doing various IT-ish things for the past, I'll say, 12 years, give or take. Grown up around technology, started programming in line-numbered BASIC on an ColecoVision Atom when I was somewhere between the ages of 5 to 10. And ever since then, I've been addicted to technology. And I am the resident IT expert in my household. Joe?
That's about where I am as far as the resident IT expert. My name is Joe. I work for a large computer manufacturer that doesn't actually manufacture computers themselves.
Minor detail.
I do enterprise technical support. You'll probably hear me mention their name, and I'll throw out disclaimers if it becomes necessary. But I've been playing with computers since I was 10 years old. The first one I ever laid eyes on was a Radio Shack TRS-80, if that gives you any idea of how long I've been had an interest in computers. And it might give you an idea of... just how old I am, and I am older than Kevin. I say it's about life, love, and technology. And Kevin's a relative newlywed. He just
about just, 2.5 years now.
Oh, is it 2.5? I was going to say one. I guess it's my sister that's at one.
Yeah.
But I've been this May. I will have been married 22 years. So we've got a little bit of experience going there as well. I'm into photography, walks on the beach, and no, I...
oh my. If you start playing the Pina Colada song, I'm quitting this.
I'll sing it like Sarge.
No. Moving on.
Moving on. A little bit of housekeeping to get through here first. Tonight, this is being recorded using the RecordCube software by NowSmart. It allows us to record from the speaker and the microphone at the same time. My idea was to have it record the sounds that I'm playing and like our opening and the microphone from the same computer. And that worked fine as far as recording them, but when I played some test sounds this evening, Kevin couldn't hear them, so it kind of made that a bit of a moot point. So I'm actually using, the sound effects are coming from a laptop sitting next to me. But NowSmart was very gracious in giving us a license key for their software. It's not terribly expensive, but I told them we were just starting out and on a limited budget, and I wanted to give their software a try. And they said, sure, here's a code.
How many times do we have to contractually obligated to mention NowSmart? Is it 14 or 16?
I don't even think it's that much, because that would be almost a dollar per mention.
Well, let me get a couple in there, too. NowSmart, they don't suck.
I'll have a link to the software up in the show notes.
Sorry. And by the way, folks, for all of our listeners out there, I just want to say I can be bought, and I am available for advertising spots.
Okay.
Hey, I'm not proud.
The other mention that we need to make is our opening music bed was an edited version of a song called Airbrushed by a group called Anamanaguchi. Here's the cool thing. You're going to geek out on this, Kevin. Mm-hmm. They create their music using a hacked NES from 1985.
Oh, friggin' sweet.
If you listen to the Nerdist podcast, their opening music is from the same artist. I came about this close to using the same theme, but then I found the airbrushed theme and was able to download that, and I think it worked out really well. All right, so what can you expect from our show here? Well, our format is, you know, we're going to open with greetings, similar to what we did this time. I mean, we really just introduced ourselves this time, but we'll kind of give you updates on what's going on in our lives, at home, at work, that sort of thing, recent entertainment we may have enjoyed.
I would just interject here. I can envision frequent angry updates regarding my digital video recorder. It's the homebrew project that I've been working on for the past...
I'm going to say years.
Yeah, well, actually, I was about to say, what year is it? Five.
Yeah, something like that. That's why I bought my DVRs.
Yeah.
Even though they're pretty much orphaned now, I have a couple of replay TV units, and if you know anything about replay TV, you know what shape I'm in right now. Once we're done with the personal updates, we'll probably go into our technology news. Each of us will have some stories. There's probably going to be some overlap, and we'll actually discuss the issues. We're going to cover a technology term of the day, so if you're not terribly technologically oriented, you know, you may pick up some information from that. And one of the things we often do is Kevin often... hey, we got a peanut in the room here. That's my cat. I call her Peanut. Her name's actually Annabelle. And she just wandered into the room and is probably going to step on the keyboard or something, or meow into the mic. You want to say something to the folks? No, I guess not.
She'll probably screw up the ding.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. Okay, so one of the things, Kevin likes to throw me these weird philosophical questions just to get something to talk about, and
I've got a doozy tonight.
Oh, goody. So we'll go over that, and then we'll get into some listener feedback, which we won't have any tonight.
That's what I was about to say. Ooh.
Yeah, that would be interesting if we did.
Yeah, I was about to say we could get my wife in here and say, so what do you think listening from the other room?
Yeah. Yeah, but I kind of want to keep it loose, conversational. I would love to have a lot of listener participation. I'll tell you right now, I'll go ahead and throw this out. We do have an email set up. It is tworamblingidiots@gmail.com, and it's not the number two, it's the word two, so you got to spell out that whole long thing. I tried for something shorter, but somebody already had it. We also will have a blog, and it's at tworamblingidiots.blogspot.com that you can look at the show notes and that sort of thing. Eventually, I'd like to get to where we have show notes subscriptions that we can just email things out to people and that sort of stuff. But we're starting small.
Yeah.
And then of course,
Twitter, Facebook, Foursquare, all the others, whatever they all are.
Yeah, we'll probably get involved in those as well. So
and content then, as far as the eye can see.
Sunday. I don't know why I said that. okay, and then you know after the listener feedback, we'll kind of wrap it up. So,
All right, you want to hit our first news item?
Yeah, you want to start?
Sure. I noticed that as of today, Canon has announced the Canon 5D Mark III. Ooh. So this morning, I get to work. I start checking my my news feeds and just you know settling in like I usually do before it's time to get things rolling and get cranking on code. And the first thing I see on Gizmodo is this news article with the title, Canon EOS 5D Mark III, Video Chomp and Darkness Slaying Digital Single Reflex Camera Prawn, Bring It! And in my mind, that's the first thing that happens. So, it's out, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been waiting for it, it's here. Now,
so what are the specs on this thing?
All right, let me see if I can find these things. the first spec that comes to that really just blows my mind is the $3,500 price tag, and that's body only, no lens, so not even a kit lens.
That's actually not too bad because some of the other high ends tend to start in the $5,000 to $8,000 range.
Well, now keep in mind this is the 5D, not the 1D. The 1D is the full pro. This is the.
This is the prosumer.
Yeah. They actually call this one, I think, the amateur professional. And it's marketed as such. It's marketed to an amateur.
Isn't that what prosumer is?
Yeah, but they're even trying to dumb that down a little bit. I think their 7D is really what they call prosumer. And
okay.
Don't get me wrong, the prosumer is a great camera too, but the 5D is just unbelievable, and the 1D blows that even out of the water. But the thing that really gets me about this, they really haven't upped the megapixel count. It's only 22.3 megapixel, which is not that much more than the Mark II. It's full frame sensor, which is great. The max ISO is a lot higher, but you know, whatever, it's ISO. I'd love to see what it actually turns out, you know, what the noise quality is. That's really going to be the important part. The display is just a little bigger. The viewfinder's a little bigger. It's basically an incremental upgrade, except for one thing. Anybody who's heard about the EOS 5D Mark II knows that it is a powerhouse. This camera has been used to shoot movies. I mean, it's got your standard.
Didn't they do a commercial with them shooting it, using it to shoot a commercial?
I think so. But they've actually been using it to shoot movies. Was it How I Met Your Mother or something like that? Just recently finished up one of their episodes with shooting through the 5D Mark II. Here's the powerhouse. Video, 720p at 60 frames per second. Let me say that again. 720p, that's high definition, 60 frames per second.
Well, there's something you don't see every day.
Was unnecessary.
Of course it wasn't unnecessary.
Anyway, it will shoot at a full 30 frames per second 1080p, which honestly just boggles the mind.
Wow.
So you can do full slow motion high definition video with this thing. That just boggles the mind. Anyway, I want
That's
one.
That's fantastic.
Just because, you know, geek cred, and let's face facts, there is an implicit understanding with a camera that, let's just say that barrel size can translate to other sizes. We'll keep it at that.
Okay.
Go, you're next.
And just so you know, I'm a Nikonian.
Don't worry, we'll get into plenty Kirk versus Picard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. My decision to buy Nikon, at the time I bought, you had, on the consumer level, you had the Nikon D70 and the Canon EOS Rebel Digital. That was pretty much it. I mean, you had professional cameras and that sort of thing. Now, at the time, I really liked, you know, the feel of it in my hand. The EOS, the Canon felt a little small and plasticky to me.
Now, Joe, be honest here. The reason why you got it is because you're a fan of the freaking Paul Simon song.
Oh, yeah, I got a Nikon camera, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they took our Kodachrome away.
So much 2012.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's where I am with photography. And I've got too much sunk into it. If I had it to do over again, I would probably go for the Canon. Sorry, Nikon people. And that's because now everybody I know that has a digital SLR has a Canon. Oh, well, let me get into my... my story here. AT&T, they have finally set a cap on their limited unlimited data usage. Basically, what they're going to do is those of us that are grandfathered in with an unlimited data plan, they have actually specified a limit. And what they've said is they're going to throttle users starting, you know, when they hit 3 gigabytes. Now, I've never even come close to 2. I'm not one that uses a lot of streaming video, anything like that. But they've finally said, you know, yeah, it's unlimited, but we're gonna throttle you back when you hit 3 gigs. How far it will be throttled, I don't know. I didn't see anything that specified that. But, you know, Kevin, do you ever come close to...
No, I always tend to be in Wi-Fi land. Now, my wife doesn't have the 2 gigs. She's got the 200 meg because she really doesn't do a lot of data. Email, Facebook, occasional web surfing, that's about it. Whereas I'm an app addict. My wife likes to call me a digital hoarder. So I don't think you'll be seeing that on TLC anytime soon, but... Long story short, I'm an app addict, so yeah, I need the 2 gigs.
Yeah, what I found, and I've said this since they pretty much dumped the unlimited plan, you know, they come out with the most connected device phone ever created in the iPhone. They push it so hard, they get it sold so much, they get it in the hands of so many people, and they get us and it's a connected device. You cannot use this device except, you know, if you want to use it as just a phone, that's great.
Screwed there too.
Well, I mean, it doesn't use your data to, you know, to make a telephone call.
Well, but it wasn't just the problem that in the bigger cities, you couldn't even make phone calls on this thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
their
network was overloaded.
Right. Yeah. That was... that was not really the point I was trying to get to. But you're right. You are right about that, the overload. They give us this thing that's so connected, and to use it at all, you have to use data. You just have to. And it's, you know, you can't get away from it, and which is why they required a data plan with it. But all of a sudden, then they say, you know, we're going to limit you.
Shame on you, AT&T.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's my wag of the finger.
Okay, you want me to go, or are you gonna take, or did you not know I was done?
I was waiting for you to turn it over to me. So dead air.
Take it away, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you. So poking around on Gizmodo, one of my favorite websites. I hate Gizmodo at the same time. I love it.
Sort of like the iPhone.
Yeah, necessary evil. So the Pentagon's killed the ray gun.
The railgun, you mean?
Ray gun. The Pentagon finally killed, and I knew it was going to happen. I'm depressed, but, well, what can I do?
So no phasers in our future.
No more phasers. The Pentagon killed the 747 jumbo jet with the mounted laser. You know this project, the anti-ballistic missile project? They've been working on this for years. Called the ABL, the Airborne Laser Project. It went something like $6 billion over budget. started in 1996. They've been fiddling with it now for 16 years. They finally said, forget it. It's now being sent to the Air Force's Maintenance and Regeneration Group, also known as the Boneyard. If you're a nerd and you've ever watched Mythbusters, they've done several episodes at the Boneyard. Their explosive decompression episode was done there, so you've seen it. Well, guess what? What was known as America's first lightsaber will now exist at the same place that the Mythbusters blew up an airplane. I believe that was a DC-10, was that?
I think so, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, yeah. Don't they know that they need a frozen capsule for fuel to generate enough energy to be able to fire off the laser, and they need a big spinning mirror and all of that stuff? I mean, did they not watch Real Genius?
Well, I was going to say that they needed the same thing that apparently powered the Death Star, but whatever. I still haven't figured that out. And I, God, before we get any nerds chiming in, oh, well, that was a blah, 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 and that was explained in this Star Wars. I do not read Star Wars books. I will not read Star Wars books. Leave it alone.
Okay. The Windows 8 public preview was released on Wednesday. I did have an opportunity to try it out. My desktop PC was, after 2.5 years of running Windows 7 and installing and uninstalling all sorts of garbage onto it, it was just not being user-friendly at all. It was being sluggish. It was, devices weren't working. It was having problems with the USB. So I decided, well, it's time to reload it. And then, on Wednesday I heard, hey, the public preview is out for Windows 8. I went and got it and installed it and then rapidly uninstalled it. It's really the Metro interface, which is, what they're calling their interface with the start screen and the tiles and all of that, that's very similar to their Windows Phone interface. It's really designed for a touch interface. A couple of people I've talked to have said, yeah, it was really kind of fun, kind of cool on my touch screen, but you know, using it with a mouse, I do not recommend it. It's really hard to figure out how to navigate. I had not seen anything on how to operate it or anything like that, and so I was getting very frustrated with, okay, how do I get here? How do I make this move? How do I make that move? I figured out pretty quickly how to make the start screen disappear and actually get to a desktop, which is fine, but then trying to figure out how to, oh, let's say, start a program that isn't, you know, that I don't have an icon for, get to a control panel.
Minor details.
Yeah, minor details.
You're not considering the bigger computing experience, Joe. It's being way too narrow-minded. Do you like my impression of Bill?
Oh, yeah.
Or what's his face, the guy who threw the chair?
Was that Bomber?
Yeah, it was Bomber.
Yeah. Developers. Sorry.
Never.
But basically, you know, I don't think this is going to become a commercial success. You know, Windows 7, when it came out, Vista was looked nice, but had so many, it was so bloated and so crazy that it was just terribly inefficient no matter what hardware you put it on. And, you know, when Windows 7 came out, it was like, oh, the clouds parted, you know, all of that stuff. And it's, I love Windows 7. Absolutely love it. But there, and it looks, as I was telling somebody that, earlier this evening when I was discussing it, it looks like they're trying to, it looks like they're imitating.
That's all that Microsoft has ever done.
Well, no, it looks like they're imitating while trying to look like they're innovating, because they've moved so much stuff around. They're trying to go for this major paradigm shift that, I'm sorry, isn't going to happen. Not at this point.
When has Microsoft ever done anything other than imitate? with the illusion of innovation. I'm sorry, that's where they built their entire freaking empire off of.
Absolutely.
And admittedly, it worked for them wonderfully in the 90s. It worked for them pretty darn well in the, what are we calling it these days? The aughts?
The naughties?
Yeah, sure. It's not going to keep working for them. Apple's proven that time and again. I'm sorry. And Joe, I know that you are a Microsoft fanboy when it comes to the Zune.
I actually sold my Zune. Oh. My Zune HD. Oh. I finally sold it because they abandoned the product.
Well, there you go. I mean, the only thing that they've really managed, I would argue, to truly be successful at, and you could actually make an argument that they didn't do anything new with it, would be the Xbox and the Xbox 360. Why didn't they do anything new with it? Because they'd done it before. Because Sony, Sega, everybody had done it before. Nintendo. It wasn't anything really that new. It didn't require any new innovation. It just required slapping some interesting names on it. And of course, what made the first Xbox a success? Bungie.
Oh, yeah.
Microsoft had nothing to do with it.
It was a software thing.
Yeah.
But I gotta say that they did make a pretty good innovation with the Kinect.
But they bought that technology from another company.
They do that.
Well, that's the only way they've ever innovated. Since the 80s. I'm sorry, but it did, you know, you can go on and on about Microsoft and open source and blah-de-blah, and you know what, that's neither here nor there. My problem is that there's a reason why Apple attracts fanboys. And that's because they actually innovate. And they do think, maybe they don't innovate. Maybe they improve. Microsoft doesn't even improve.
No, that's, I'll agree with that.
People use products in spite of Microsoft. People use products because of Apple. That's the point. Anyway, there's my
point. So I'll call out to any listeners that might be listening. If you've had an opportunity to use the new Windows 8 public preview, give us your take on it. We'd love to hear it. Again, it's tworamblingidiots@gmail.com.
And I would also challenge our listeners this. If you're going to write a glowing report, or if you're reading a glowing report, find out if it's been done on a touchscreen. Because the only time I've ever read a glowing review of Windows 8, it was on a touchscreen. I've never seen one that was on the desktop. And I just want to point out, Microsoft follows the exact same rule as Star Trek movies when it comes to Windows releases. And Joe?
Every other one is good.
There you go.
Yeah, it's been that way since, XP?
Oh, one could argue it's been that way since 3.1.
I suppose. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
All right, I've got a couple here, too. So... Have you heard about the crazy gun that can physically stop you from talking? You know what? Let's save that one. That one's not actually that interesting. I want to talk about the iPad 3.
Okay, I've got some stuff on that as well.
Yeah, I want the iPad 3. I desperately want the iPad 3. I do not have an iPad. I used to have a blog. It's not really up and running anymore. It could be very quickly, but I just... really haven't messed with it. And I called that blog Behind the Times for one important reason. Every other...
You haven't updated it in 3 years?
Well, that's part of it. It's not just the blog, though, because when I spoke about technology on the blog, every other geek I know is bleeding edge. I'm not. I never have been. I'm always doing the old crap. Why? I don't have enough money.
Well, I'm the same way. I mean...
In this case, though... I am going to buy the iPad 3 this year before the next iPad comes out. Now, I don't know if it's going to be called the iPad 2S, the iPad HD, the iPad your mom. I don't know. I'm buying it. Why? I've got to have an iPad. Why? Because I'm in the Apple bubble. I need somebody to get me out, but there's nothing better. So I'm getting the iPad 3. And I'm going to find out more on Tuesday. And until then, I'm not sleeping. So, there's nothing.
I hear that. I read something recently. I won't have a link to it or anything like that, but I did read something recently that Kevin, it's happened.
What's happened?
I forgot what I was going to say. Kevin knows me very well. This is not, this may be the first time here that this has happened.
Once per show, ladies and gentlemen.
At least. Okay. Yes. What I was reading was that a lot of people were not terribly satisfied with the Android tablet experience. And that's really the only competitor. Does anybody else really make a tablet OS?
HP! They used to. I desperately wanted the touchpad. I desperately wanted it for $100. Yeah, I wanted the touchpad. They killed that because HP. I'm sorry, but HP is the fox of the computer world. If they make a good product, they have to kill it. If they make a bad product, they have to run it into the ground. That's. I'm sorry. The touchpad was the. Oh, it was the Firefly. Of the tablet world. We'll just call it that.
Okay.
One short season, dead on arrival.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, moving on. There's a lot of speculation as to what the iPad 3 specs are going to be like. There's most definitely going to be... I mean, there's almost universal agreement that there's going to be an improved processor. There's question whether it's going to be dual core, quad core, that sort of thing. A lot of people are hoping for an improved camera because...
Oh, I was going to say the big one is the Retina display.
Yeah. That's the big thing. The thing about the camera is when they added the camera to the iPad... iPad 2 that came out very around the same time as the iPhone 4, which had a phenomenal camera.
Mm-hmm.
But they put into the iPad 2, they put the same camera that they put into the iPod Touch, which was not even as good as what was the camera that was in the iPhone 3GS, which is what I carry right now. So a lot of people are hoping for an improved camera. You mentioned the Retina display, a high res display. There's some question as to whether or not it's going to be like HD, like 1080p, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
The thing that worries me is, I've just got to say this up front. I want the iPad 3 or 2S or HD or 6Q or Orange 5, who knows, whatever it's going to be. I want it because I want an iPad and I want the latest and greatest. But I got to tell you, I got a problem because I'm almost going to bet you money that it's not going to be the 3. It's not going to be the HD. It's going to be the iPad 2S. It's going to be an incremental upgrade over the iPad 2, just like the 4S was over the 4.
And the 3GS was over to the 3G.
Exactly. And it is not going to be the mind-blowing, brand-new, completely re-energize the tablet industry like everybody thinks it's going to. Because that's what everybody thought was going to happen before the 4S came out. That's what everybody thought was going to happen before the 3GS came out. Guess what? Apple is now getting into this mentality of incremental upgrades, which is not terrible.
They've done that for years.
Yeah, but it used to be the sky's the limit. Well, if you notice, they're not focusing huge, new, completely change the industry technologies into their pre-existing products.
They don't need to. They just need to stay ahead of everybody else.
They're doing that in new products. The whole concept of the Apple TV, and I'm not talking about that little box. I'm talking about this thing they're partnering with Samsung with. Or did you know that Apple is hiring automotive engineers?
I did not know that.
Yes.
To what end?
There's a rumor that Apple is starting to hire automotive engineers. Why? Because they want to put Apple products in cars.
That makes sense.
It does. They want Siri sitting in your dashboard as opposed to, some random proprietary junk that's built by BMW or Mercedes or what have you. Or, whatever the crummy little proprietary operating system. It's probably running off of like Symbian or something that runs your GPS display and the extra little stuff in your car. Apple wants to run that. And oh my God.
That would be very cool. That would be very cool.
I will install that in my Honda. In a heartbeat.
So here's my prediction. What we're going to see is there's a lot of leaked photographs and that sort of thing about a high-res display. So I think we're going to see that.
There's more than just the images. There are actually Ars Technica. I just saw this today. Ars Technica is reporting that they're showing in their logs, their server access logs, people accessing from Cupertino, California, running iOS 6.0 on a display size that could only be a Retina iPad.
Well, true, but the way that these developments go, that could be the iPad 5. That could be a 5th gen or 6th gen iPad that they're simply testing. But the evidence is there to strongly suggest that we are going to see a high-res display, a Retina display on the iPad 3.
I put money on it.
I don't think we are going to see the iPad mini. that's been speculated since day one with the original iPad.
It's never going to happen.
I just don't see it happening unless a bigger demand for that form factor comes along. And
never going to happen. That they would be Apple would be competing with themselves. They don't need to do that.
This is true. This is true. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why they won't do a smaller version.
Yeah.
So, but I think we're going to see that. We're going to see a better camera, and we're going to see an improved processor. How much improved? Don't know. But we're going to see an improved processor. The promo that they're putting out is it's something you really have to see and touch. So there's a little bit of speculation out there that there's going to possibly be a capacitive bezel on this thing.
I was actually hoping for haptics, but I'm not going to go that far.
Which haptics are what?
Haptics are touch response feedback. So there's some really cool, somewhat futuristic, but not too far in the future, futuristic tech. Haptics would include your DualShock PS2 and PS3 controllers that vibrate. That's haptics. Vibration response. So, you get hit, somebody shoots you in the face with an RPG, and your controller vibrates because, that's the first thing I think of when I get shot in the face with an RPG is my hands are going to shake.
Yeah.
But they're actually talk about within the next, say, decade or two. And yeah, these things tend to be very, very bubble oriented. Oh, within 10 years, we'll see touchscreen devices that you feel. Well, yeah, there's some thought that there's a couple patents out there. There's thoughts about using some static electricity for being able to give people a flat display. But when you put your fingers on it, you actually feel things like bumps and ridges.
Okay, we're getting into some time here, but there was one more story that I wanted to cover because we Kevin and I have a good friend of ours who wears a prosthetic leg. But on Gizmodo, I did find a story that about prosthetics, and there was a Dr. Sean Kirk and colleagues. They set out to develop a synthetic substance that could act as a scaffold, that is an artificial structure that can support tissue growth and successfully merge severed nerves with robotic limbs. What this means, or may mean, is that artificial arms and legs that can move with agility, discern hot from lukewarm from freezing, and restore even the subtlest sensation of touch.
Ah! Well, won't they think of next?
No. it's the Bionic Man. It's really, I mean, that's really where what it's approaching.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him.
We have
just don't have a lot of money.
The $6.2 man.
Yeah. Now that, I'm sorry, that joke's been done to death.
Yeah.
I think I came up with that in middle school with a friend of mine, and lo and behold, I've seen that joke done probably once a year, every year since then.
But yeah, that is very cool to know that possibly sometime in the future, he and other amputees could have an artificial limb that they get feedback is off of as if it's a real limb, flesh and blood.
I'm starting to see too where they're finding ways to better connect to the nerve endings that do exist on the, well, for lack of a better word, stump. I know that's what he calls it, but I'm not sure if that's the PC term.
I don't either.
But they are finding better ways to connect to the nerves and retrain the brain. I read stories probably at least once a month where they're finding new ways to give the blind sight by hooking a video camera directly into their cerebral cortex. It's we're getting closer.
Kind of like a cochlear implant for hearing.
But yeah, except for the eyes. Joe, have you ever heard of an anime called Ghost in the Shell?
I've heard of it, yes.
Okay.
And I think you've talked about it a little bit with me, but
I like their concept of the future because the wealthy and the military become cyborgs, and they really kind of show how the technology evolved, at least in the second season of the show, from pretty much not too much further from where we are today. And it's kind of one of those not too distant future. Not necessarily next Sunday AD, but we're talking around 2040. And I could see us getting kind of to that point around 2040. Now, maybe we won't be quite there yet. I mean, people thought we'd be doing flying cars now, and, well, I'm still disappointed. But this seemed a little more realistic. I enjoy that vision of the future because it seems to... It's not all rainbows and butterflies. It does show that, hey, there's new problems that are associated with it.
Well, and you look at things like that with their possibilities, but if you rewind a little bit, do you remember the video that Microsoft put out, the Knowledge Navigator? If you might be able to find it on YouTube or something. I'm not sure. I haven't really looked at it. But basically what it was, this guy had it was built into a table, basically, and could...
Are you talking about the multi-touch display where they're shuffling photos and everything like that?
Well, that, but he also... There was this... in the corner was this assistant... and it was just a head and shoulders thing. Looked like Bill Nye the Science Guy, you know, bow tie, the whole bit. But
Bill Nye, the
you know,
Science
he would
guy.
He would talk to it and say, you know, hey, let's take a look at this map and see what the effect of this is going to be, and it would then do that. And oh, by the way, while we were discussing that, your mother called and she left a message saying, you know, this sort of thing. And he was able to, you know, say things like, oh, let's put that up on the big screen, and it would instantly show up on the wall instead of on the desk and that sort of thing. And I see a lot of elements of that. I encourage you, if you can find it, it's the Knowledge Navigator. I encourage you to watch that. Realize that it was put together in the early 80s. And see just how much of that technology we now have. Go back to the 60s and watch Star Trek and look at the data pads.
Or Uhura's ear thing.
The very first Bluetooth. Amen.
Yep. That's my favorite tech story. Well, okay. Gonna move this on?
Yeah, let's what is our technology term of the day?
Technology term of the day. This one's going to be a little humorous. My favorite one. I'm sure most of our listeners know what the term EOL and EOF are. Now, while we probably have got a few younger listeners out there, actually, we don't have any listeners out there, but just pretend.
We will.
Yeah. I'm sure EOL and EOF are familiar to most listeners, but for any of our younger listeners, EOL and EOF are the carryover from the old, old ancient bad days of the teletype. They stand for end of line and end of file. Basically, in just standard ASCII text format, EOL and EOF are the denotations. They're actually ASCII codes that really were carried over from teletype. Well, there's another term out there called EOU. It stands for end of user. Now, this is back in the days of the ASR33 teletype. It's a mythical control code that one could send, and of course didn't actually exist, would cause the ASR33 teletype to explode, killing the user. Now, the notion that one of these giant honking, clanking machines could actually explode is a lot more intuitive when you're standing in front of one and it's rattling at you than most people would think sitting in front of a computer, since they just were, and most of them don't even do that anymore. There are a few other things that have cropped up throughout the years that various opcodes for Intel chip sets, things like branch and catch fire, BCF, that's a popular one. A few others that, you know, theoretically could abuse the user back, but really, they just don't get anywhere close to EOU, end of user.
It's so simple. Term.
That's your technology term for the day.
Okay, so this fantastic, bizarre philosophy question.
So I said that the today's show was brought to you by the letter red. I wasn't actually kidding. Joe, I need you to answer a question for me. This one's going to be kind of tough.
Okay.
Tell me what red is. Assume I'm blind and tell me what red is.
Wow, that's... You put me on the spot. Thanks.
No problem.
Trying not to have a lot of dead air, but...
Well, in this case, it's kind of necessary because that actually gets my point across. It's pretty hard to describe the color red to somebody who's blind and has been blind since birth. Never, ever seen the color red. You could explain it in terms of how it makes you feel. Well, red is the color of passion. It's the color of fire. It's... same thing in a stoplight, but all of those things still harken back to its colorness. You can explain it in terms of RGB values, again, for our nerds. That doesn't really help anyone, though, because it still doesn't get across that concept of redness. Well, that concept of redness, that thing that you can't really describe, you just have to feel or know, what that is a concept called qualia. And that's actually something very important in philosophy. So the concept of qualia is basically something that cannot be defined. If you're trying to describe consciousness or what makes up one's self, there's a few things in there. There's your consciousness, which is really your awareness of being. There's your sentience. That's going to be your ability to reason, your ability to think, your intelligence. There's a few other aspects in there, but there's another component in consciousness, and that's qualia. That's that essence of being that cannot be described. So if I were to assign homework, I would say, go out and try and describe it. Philosophers have been trying for years, and nobody has ever really figured it out. Some people don't even believe it exists, but ultimately, that's it.
So it's sort of like trying to describe love or some of the other emotions, whereby you know it, you can feel it, and you can try to describe it, like, you know, love is missing someone even when they're with you type sort of thing, but you really can't, even sometimes when you're in it, you can't define it, and you can't say that, you know, this is love type thing.
Qualia is the notion that there is simply no way to impart a true understanding of a concept to someone who cannot sense that concept themselves. So, ultimately speaking, if someone is incapable of emotions, they're never going to understand love. If someone is blind and has been blind since birth, they're never going to truly understand red. Again, I'm not trying to insult the blind here. I'm just saying that there is a qualia to that that will never be understood by someone who cannot experience it. Now, there's a lot of other philosophical aspects that touch on this concept and can branch off of it. I think we're going to save those for another philosophical question of the week. But we'll get into that next time.
All right.
Mail's in.
All right, this is the time where we would normally insert the listener comments or feedback. But since this is the first episode, nobody's heard us yet, and nobody's had an opportunity to give feedback. So I'll remind you once again.
Except for your cat.
She didn't even give feedback.
Well, that's another story entirely.
So I'll let you know once again, we are at tworamblingidiots@gmail.com, or you can stop by tworamblingidiots.blogspot.com and leave commentary there. And hopefully in our next episode, we'll have some listener feedback. I would encourage you that if you have listened to this, even if you don't have commentary on any of the content of the show, please drop us a message and let us know what you liked, what you didn't like. You know, just give us an idea of how we're doing. What do you want to hear more of? What do you want to hear less of? Do you want to hear Kevin not be so long-winded? Do you want to hear Joe not be so long-winded?
Do you want to hear Kevin be more curmudgeonly?
Would you like me to talk about my cat more? So.
Or leave your 5-star reviews on iTunes or your portal of choice.
If you can find us on iTunes.
Maybe someday.
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and we hope you'll come back with friends for episode 2.
And they told two friends, and they told two friends.
And they told two friends.
This episode of Two Rambling Idiots Podcast was brought to you by the number...
Red.